Freeman.
Stop. Look. Listen. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Bend over, turn around, jump up and down, listen up, Jesus is on the...
And that's my lovely partner, Dr. John Palmer.
You give so many orders, I don't know what to do with them. Do this, do that, turn this. One time, Tony, one time, he said to everybody, stop! And there were three accidents on the Long Island Expressway because he did that. Oh, listeners, oh, we're Dr. Tony Schiffo.
Yeah, and you're my good friend, Dr. John Palmer. You are my good friend, right?
It depends on the day.
Oh, okay. And we're here to tell you we love Jesus, and we got a guest. Wow, tell him, John.
Oh, who's our guest? We have Tony Belize, and Tony is a workshop. He's a servant of God.
It's Belize, isn't it?
Yes.
Say it right. He's Italian, please. If you
I'm
don't
Albanian,
mind.
Actually.
Oh, what? Okay. What an honor and pleasure to have you, Tony.
It's great
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Praise Jesus. Praise Amen. Jesus.
You know, maybe you can tell people a little bit about who you are. I met you this morning, 5 minutes before the show.
We're very close, I know.
Yes, we know.
But he knows about
you. I know of you.
Because I filled him in and stuff, and I told him exactly what you're about.
See, he's worried.
I know.
He thinks I'm going to fire him. Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've gotten into this work.
Well, I live in Queens Village, New York, and I'm a youth minister, a retreat director, and prison minister. I do about 485 events a year, churches, schools, and jails all over the country.
Wow.
Spend the summers doing mission trips around the world.
Wow. I got this morning in prayer, you know, and that's the way I described you to Palmer when we were reviewing the guest, and I told him you were a youth minister and that you gave talks, but I got this morning that you were a soldier of God, you were a soldier of Jesus, you were a warrior, and that you were the electorate of evangelization. So you may want to add that into your.
I'll add that to my resume.
But you know the perspective you have from traveling around, you get a look at our church, not only across the country, but in different countries, but also at the young people and in your prison work.
Mm-hmm.
What's our church look like? You like that?
What's the church look like? We need help, boy. Yeah. We need the holy infusion of the Holy Spirit in a big way. But everywhere I go, I see signs of hope as well.
Yeah,
there's really in the midst of a lot of darkness. You know, God has not given up on us by any stretch of imagination. He's still alive in this world. He's alive in His church, and I do see reasons to have hope.
Yes, and I think the youth movement is very hopeful. I think I see some good progress, thanks to guys like you, with the youth and getting them together, and Youth Day, Youth World Day, I think was a tremendous help with it. And I do see a little bit more Holy Spirit getting into the youth, thanks to you.
Well, the youth are, in a lot of ways, our hope, because they haven't sold out yet.
Yeah.
They haven't bought into this, to the lies.
Of the
world. Still, you know, hopefully enough of them are still open that we can, you know, they can be reached with the gospel. They can be open to Christ, and they aren't buying this false bill of goods that everybody else seems to be jumping on the bandwagon with.
They're looking.
They still have a piece of them that's searching that can receive and can be open. You're right.
We certainly see that at the diocese with the young adult ministry, that they just want something more, but they're not into formal ceremonies. They want a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
And that's what this program is all about.
Absolutely.
Trying to tell Catholics, like what Pope Paul VI said and what Pope John Paul II said and now what Pope Benedict says, for you to have your religion to have any meaning, you have to have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And the kids will tell us, we like that personal relationship, but we don't want to go to church. And my response maybe heretically is, fine. But now I know that God will get you into church.
Yeah, but you know what, John? Mm-hmm. A lot of these kids, a lot of these youth don't know that they could have a personal relationship with Jesus and with God. It's so awesome. It's too awesome for them to fathom that they can actually have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is waiting there for them to come to him. And once they get that, once they realize that, I think they're hooked.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
On my retreats, I use with the youth, and even hanging on the wall at the jail, I have a picture of Jesus knocking at the door of your heart, but the door is closed. It's locked. And I tell him, he's knocking, but you know, he's not going to barge into your life. He's not going to force you. Door to your heart can only be opened by you.
There's no doorknob on that door.
Not on the outside.
Not on the outside, yeah.
Only you can open
the
door.
How do you get them to open the door? What do you do in your workshops that would get them to say, okay, I want to know more?
Kids today, if I had to group them into two categories, some kids have been deeply wounded by life. And so the door is shut because they're angry, they're hurt. They don't believe there is a God, or if there is, he doesn't care about them because of the wounds of their life.
Sure.
And some kids got the door closed because they're simply too caught up in everything else that seems so wonderful. They've been pampered, babied, and spoiled, and they've been given everything. So they're not hungry. So on a retreat in a very short period of time, because nobody does weekend retreats anymore. They only have a couple of hours. What I try and do is throw things out there to make them open. And realize, you know what, everybody's got something, you know, everybody has something that to be sorry for, somebody has something that you're not so perfect, or something that has wounded you in some way. So you try and stir up a hunger to recognize you need them. We need them. You're not so perfect, and your life is not so perfect. So let's, you got to break through that. Otherwise, they just listen to you. They don't even listen to you. They're just watching you like a computer screen, and you know, it's like you're not even there.
So you have. How do you break down that wall? How do you get through where you can say, "Hey, wake up and listen. God wants to talk to you." What do?
You tell your own story.
Okay.
You let them know that you're not somebody who's always had this perfect relationship with God, and you've struggled, and you've had times when you didn't know how amazing that relationship is. And
would you share your story?
Always with the kids, I keep it very real with them. And
how about him?
And you invite them to share theirs as open as they can, or get in touch with their own story.
Could you tell your story on the radio? How you converted, if you had a conversion? How did you find Jesus?
I was a lost kid. I didn't have God in my teenage years. A lot of different reasons for that. Nothing one horrific thing. Just a lot of stuff added up. I had a negative attitude. And I made a retreat at the end of my high school years. It was called A Christian Awakening. And I met Jesus in the Christian community that had gathered for that retreat. And I brought him all the pain that I'd been through, all the things that had messed me up. And just said, look, I don't like the way you run your universe. But you know what? I got to do something because my attitude stinks. And I could use something. So I'm here. Hit me.
Matthew 11. He says, bring all your problems to me.
Yeah, and that's
and
what
I will carry them for you.
And that's what I do with the kids. And you know what's a beautiful thing today is that they're so cruel to each other. But when you do as I do within my retreats, they're all getting in touch with the flaws and the hurts, and they realize, wow, we've all got a story. And that's one of the beautiful side effects of doing this. Besides opening up to Christ, a lot of times something shifts in their heart towards each other.
Yes, and they know, once they interact, they know that they're not the only ones in the same boat. They don't know, they all have the same problems, same concerns, and they can share it.
Right, right.
That's what you're doing. I hear the term, we meet Jesus. And then I know our listeners are saying, fine, but what do you really mean when you say you meet Jesus? You know, how do you know you're meeting Jesus? Mm-hmm. Do you deal with that kind of question?
Oh, sure. And the kids will test you.
I mean, yeah. They're,
you know, they're not...
That's what I'm doing.
Yep. You're meeting Jesus in... you're opening up your heart. You're letting him in. You're allowing him to touch you in all the different ways he does. And everyone has that own unique relationship.
Yeah.
He talks to me through... the humorous things that happen to me. I mean,
Palmer.
Yeah.
You gotta see how funny he is with Palmer.
He's got a great sense of humor.
He does.
He, you know, in the scriptures, of course, in the sacraments, of course, you're meeting him in personal prayer. Within my retreats, the thing that really works with the kids is guided meditation. They go on a journey with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, they could be quiet with their eyes closed for 20 minutes.
Yes.
And they're hungry for that because their lives are so cluttered.
Yes.
You give them a chance to just be quiet and for once just give them a chance to be with them. Well, and he jumps in everything.
Absolutely.
You take one step towards him, he's running towards you.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That's what you try and do.
So be still and know I am your God.
Amen.
You know, and I have kids or adults who would say to me, you mean I'm not crazy if I hear a voice inside of me that's different than mine? I said, well, it depends on the voice you're hearing.
Yes.
But if it's a voice that gives you peace, that's the Holy Spirit. Mm. And many times people will say, you know, I have all this stuff in my life and it's no good, but I hear this quiet, gentle voice inside. I said, that's God, and you have to focus on what that voice is telling you. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start to transition into his love.
But also, John, Jesus talks to us in so many different ways. You don't have to hear a voice for him to talk to you.
Well,
he'll talk to you through the scriptures. He'll talk to you in prayer. He'll talk to you in through pictures, like he sometimes talks to me. And there's so many ways that he communicates, but we have to be open and ready for his communication. And John is absolutely right. Once you start talking with Jesus, you start hearing in your mind exactly what he wants you to know.
Yeah, it's not a voice. It's just that words are there. Things get formed.
It comes into your mind.
And one of the most rewarding parts of my life is the Friday afternoons I spend over there at the juvenile jail over here on Long Island. The kids so many times feel like through their being arrested that was God in their life. If I had a nickel for every kid that's ever sat in front of me and said, you know, if I wasn't in here right now, I'd be dead or who knows what kind of trouble I'd be in. And while they're in there, they have a chance to step away from all the things that are messing up their life, and they think and they pray and they're hungry. It's very rewarding. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half of them are just... you know, it's very sad to say, but half of them are happy to be in there because they're thinking they're going to get more respect on the street when they get out. But the other half, real profound changes happen because God is talking to them through that experience of being busted, of being in jail, and being a chance to pray.
Now I know why Jesus said you're one of his electrorods in free evangelization. You're all over the place. You're all over the place.
My mission statement is to live next to the next, to be open to being wherever it is that he wants to send me next, and not be locked in, to just be free to go wherever he wants me to go, to spread his love, to spread his good news.
And you know, people are looking for, well, how can I find him? Where can I find him? And I tell them, you have it right on your desk. You have it right here. You have scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony and I play Bible roulette. And you open the book, and a passage will come up. And inevitably, it's something that talks to your heart.
Two little kids. We play Bible roulette. We play this and that.
Do they like the scripture?
Young kids people? In the jail, every kid gets a Bible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's not just Catholic, but other Christian evangelists go in and minister with the kids, and there's tons of Bibles available to them, and most of them will take them.
Where did it come from? They're from this county, or who supplies those Bibles?
The religious.
There's the Catholic prison ministry provides some. The other Christian churches that minister there on Sundays, they bring some.
I give Bibles out once a month. In my parish, that's my thing. I like to give Bibles out.
Yeah.
If you have any Bibles, let me know.
Okay.
But it certainly is an avenue where Jesus can start talking. You know, I tell people that it's been around as a term. Bible means basic information before leaving earth, you know. Mm-hmm. And once you open that door, like you said, open that door from within and let his word in,
It
starts to change you.
It can have great power. What I believe in even more so is the power of the word working through a person.
Okay.
You know, the Bible in a lot of ways is like, I guess another analogy I could use is like the cookbook. Mm-hmm. People are starving.
Oh, yeah.
They need a meal.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And the cookbook becomes alive when you make it into, you know, whatever's in the cookbook, you know, you make it into the meal and people can be nourished.
That's a great analogy.
So the person who has the Bible integrated and is living that presence in their interactions with people, That's the meal people are starving for. They want to meet Jesus in a person, in an interaction, a human interaction. And that's the reason why giving out Bibles alone will never be enough.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. But it's a door open.
I like to call it God's plan for our lives. But you know what? I like yours. You mind if I use yours?
You could steal whatever you want.
A secret of my success is I pleasureize, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, one of the nicest aspects about God, he's infinite. And he can find 100 million different ways to talk to anybody. And he goes right where you are if you say yes. And then he'll start to turn you around.
Amen.
And a little bit at a time every day. But you have to be able to give him a little time. That's why that being still is so important, Tony.
And that's what's missing today. Mm. We have cluttered up our lives. We're so busy. We thought all this technology was going to free us up. But we just got ourselves, people just can't stop. It's all ages.
Did you ever have dinner with young people and they're texting while they're talking to you?
I go crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
First of all, it's rude. But on top of that, they're not listening. They're not in touch with anything but their computer.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous.
It is. It is. The computer could be a great tool. The smartphones could be a great tool, but there's an addiction going on. And we have to really be willing to say that. And if you're working with kids, you have to be willing to say, okay, we're doing a retreat now. Those things go away, and if they come out, we'll put it aside for you. You can't allow it.
You know, too, with young people, I love music. And music touches them. Trevor, can you put on that second song, Trevor? And he's not there. He's talking on the phone. Well, the song is "Our God is an Awesome God,"
mm-hmm.
and He really, truly is.
While we're waiting, Tony, that song reminded me of a presentation that you made a few weeks ago with that movie about the universe,
right?
And
right.
That God created it. It blew me away.
Yeah,
it blew me away.
That's Louis Giglio.
Yes.
His awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven and earth.
You know, that's the point that you make when you try to convert somebody. God's an awesome God. Yeah. And, you know, in kid language, wow. But how do you get them to know that?
You know, you might have noticed while you were playing the song, I got a big smile on my face.
Yeah.
I just got back from Navajo Nation, where we had a mission trip with the Navajo children, the little Bible school. And we do that song with them.
Okay.
And we do the hand gestures with them. And I just had so many memories flooding back of just watching these kids.
they relate to that, don't they?
They love that song. So I think it's probably their favorite.
Okay.
And all age groups. You know, we have four different age groups at the camp. And they all just love that song and do all the hand gestures. And they sing it so enthusiastically. I think it was the closing number where they all got up together at the end and did it for their parents and families.
Now, how did you know that, Palmer?
Oh, of course, I planned it that way.
But Tony, that's why he's the executive producer.
There you go.
I vote for him every time.
But that music is a way into the heart.
It is.
That's when people say, I have friends who say, you have too much music on the radio show. I say, you can never be too much. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit works through music.
Yes.
And he may not work the way we want him to work, but he touches people who want to find out what is that awesome God like.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. He did it with Navajo Indians.
Yeah. Sometimes the kids can be very reserved, but they love us and they trust us, and that song they get caught up in. Yeah. The Spirit works through that song.
And you surrender, and you move, and you move to it. And mm-hmm. if you're doing the motions, you're even more the hand signals with
right.
the song.
That's true.
And they give in.
Yeah. Tony, I'm curious. How did you get your calling to get involved with the youth and to get involved with the youth around the world, with the Navajo Indians, with the different countries? How did you get called for that?
Well, when I made my retreat, my biggest feeling after it was over, after I had met Christ and opened up and received him, is that I committed myself to him. But I also had this feeling of, where the heck was this when I needed it when I was 14?
Right.
You know, I mean,
oh, wow.
So my
wow.
mission became to make those kinds of God experience, God encounters happen for others. That's one of the greatest thrills in life. You give someone else what you yourself would have yeah. liked and needed but didn't get.
So when Jesus came to you, he knocked you off your feet.
Yeah. I gave myself to him completely.
Completely.
And he showed, when you say that, and you do that, he continues to show you the pieces of you you didn't give over to him yet.
Right,
so it's
right.
an ongoing
yeah.
process.
Yes.
Can't
yep.
believe
yeah, absolutely right.
Ongoing and ongoing.
It's amazing.
He's yep. always going to kick you in the butt and tell you, but what about this? What about
yeah.
that? And so it's ongoing. But that was my original impetus, you know, to just, you know, to get youth ministries going, to do retreats, because that was what changed me, the retreat experience. And then when you say yes to him, he opens up doors. That's how I got to be around the world. You know, I as a kid, my family, we didn't always have the means to go many places. In fact, I never went anywhere. But I always had this sense I was meant to see the world. And yet it wasn't happening for all those years. But the way I get to see the world is by serving Christ, and the doors open up that way. So one thing leads to another, leads to another.
It just shows you the way. It just
yeah.
shows you.
I got invited to do a diocesan youth rally, Diocese of Gallup. Largest diocese in America geographically, and then they invited me back to do a leadership retreat. It was at this remote mission, and I liked the way the brother there worked with his people, and I felt God's presence there. And I said, you know, if you ever need any help, you know, let me know. And sure enough, he calls me and says, we got nobody to run a summer Bible school for the children. So I've been getting groups together 15 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So one thing leads to another. When you say yes to him, you trust the path. He's going to open up one thing, which leads to another, leads to another.
That's what he did with us. I never thought in my life I was going to be talking on a radio show. I can't even pronounce words, for crying out loud. But he led
and
me
that's
right
it.
There. Right
I was there. A shy, quiet kid that didn't talk to nobody. I sat alone in my high school cafeteria for 4 years. That's how locked into myself I was. Didn't
wow.
talk to nobody. And now I talk to 480 groups of people a year of all ages, with no notes.
Jesus can work wonders if you only allow him to
Amen.
Do it. Amen.
What I am and what I do is a total testament to his power in your yeah. life. Once you say yes to him, it's quite a hysterical thing, actually, when you think of it, that he would use somebody who was that introverted and so, you know, unable to, afraid to say anything in such a bold way is totally tribute to his power.
You know, the difference between an extrovert and an introvert is that the extrovert puts all of his scrap paper out verbally. The introvert takes it all in, analyzes it, and comes up with an answer. And people say, how did you get to that? And I once did a workshop with introverts and extroverts, and we put them in a room, and we had the extroverts in one room and the introverts in another to deal with the problem. The extrovert room was as noisy as can be. Introvert room was very quiet and thoughtful. You're an introvert. You put everything in and you analyze it.
Yep. He's analyzing you, Tony. You know who he is, right?
No, but that's wonderful because God needs introverts, because I'm an extrovert and I always interrupt.
Oh, my Lord. Tony, he's phenomenal.
I have to learn to be polite.
He's the world's biggest interrupter. The biggest.
But it really, there's such a need for people who are thoughtful and analytical. And I believe you're that kind of person who takes it, thinks about it, is quiet, so people will open up with you. Mm-hmm. Is that what happens? You got to think about it?
I think so. Well, I think to create a retreat experience or do a presentation or be a youth minister, you have to be out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You got to be engaging. Yeah. You got to be a people person. You got to feel comfortable. Yeah. You got to find the funny moments. Yeah. You got to just play with people. So I do all of that. But your description of me as somebody who takes a lot in and processes and allows the spirit to shape that in a way that it comes out. In a way
but
that people can understand.
His analysis is the analysis of a psychiatrist, so just be careful he doesn't send you a bill. Do you have insurance, by the way?
No, I don't.
But, Tony, it's really just wonderful to know that you take those gifts that God has given you and you try to break through with young people. It's just a wonderful thing that you're doing. And I bet you don't even give a thought to it. You just do it.
Exactly. As long as that's there, that I don't even think about it. That's how it works, I guess.
Yeah. You know,
some people get involved in youth because they think, oh, someone's got to do something.
Yeah.
But it isn't necessarily that with me. It's just like, it's a gift that flows. And at my age, when I was a kid, I listened to nobody my age, you know, and it flows stronger than ever these days. And it's all spirit. It's a gift. It's all the spirit of God working through me. And as long as that gift is there, I'm pouring it out.
Wow.
And you're perfect for it because the kids, the young people, young adults, college kids would be touched by that because they say, this guy's been around and he knows some of what I'm dealing with.
Yeah. Even more than that, I think you speak their language. I think your communication is right on their level and that's what's touching them.
When they give feedback to their teachers and the DREs afterwards and stuff, that's one of the biggest things that they say.
Is that right?
Yeah, that he understood us.
He understood. Yeah.
He understood us. Yeah. He knew where we're at. He knew what we're going through.
You open up a line of communications with
exactly.
them. That's why Jesus told me this morning. You know, now I got it.
And the young people, they'll let you in this far. And to really be open, they got to let God into that room in their heart that they're afraid to let him know about.
Yeah. And that's always my prayer. Not that they're going to meet me, but they're going to meet him through me. That's what I want. It's not about me. It's that they meet him talking to them and encountering them in the course of whatever, whether it's a personal encounter, it's a retreat experience, it's a youth ministry night, whatever it is.
That's why he calls you his electric rod. Yeah. For evangelization. And that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. One person at a time.
Yeah.
One day
at a time. We're looking for one convert a week. That's our mission statement, is to get one convert a week from the show. Right, Palmer?
Yes, it is. And one of the ways we can get it is to get people comfortable enough to show us the room, not us, but show God, the room in their heart. The room in their heart that they don't want to show anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where true conversion works. We all have that. Palmer Pascal wrote a song, There's a Room in My Heart, and Father Charles Mangano sings it. Listen to this. And listen to see if your heart is really, truly open. What is it you're afraid to let God into?
There's a room in my heart where nobody goes, where the blinds always shut, and the door's always closed. There's a room in my heart that I don't dare go in. Something scares me to death. I don't want to show him. If I just can pretend it's not there, I have other good rooms that I am willing to share. If he knew what I hid in my heart, would he still love me? Would he love me? There's a room in my heart that I never use. It's cold and it's dark. I won't go, I refuse. There's a room in my heart that's been empty for years. So ashamed and alone, if I could just face my fears. If the Lord would just reach out his hand, I would enter that room if he would just understand. If I trust him with all of my heart, will he still love me? Will he love me? You made each part of me. You know all my secrets. Please come to set me free. There's a room in my heart that I'm ready to show. I will tear down the walls, and with him I will go. To him, he will bring forth his heavenly son, and the room will be lit, and my house will be one. He will gather me into his arms and say he loves me, he still loves me.
But this relationship that we're talking about with God is letting go and letting God see the things you don't want him to see, those rooms.
I think that that song explains why the most rewarding part of my week is with the kids in the jail, because they're confronted with that room. That room is right there. That whatever they did, whether it was assault or sexual abuse of someone or murder, whether it's belong to gangs or involved in drug dealing, the ugly part of their lives, they're forced to confront because it got them in trouble. And the opportunity to bring that dark room that he's talking about in that song to the Lord can really lead to some serious growth.
And they want to get it out, but they're afraid to trust. Most of the people that I see in my practice never learned how to trust. And I think probably that's a lot of what you see in your ministry as well.
Yeah, people are, we live in a very appearance-focused culture. Everything is about appearances, especially here on Long Island. Everything has got to look good. You got to have the manicured lawn. The right car. Everything is about looking good. Everybody came here running away from someplace else because it maybe wasn't as good. But here we have it good. We have it perfect, and everything has to be perfect, just like everyone else is perfect. And it's all about appearances and all a bunch of garbage. So in a culture that's so obsessed with appearances, no one's willing to look to that dark side. And then in religion, they didn't do people any favors by talking all about, oh, everybody's wonderful and everything you do is wonderful and God forgives you, so don't worry. We're not willing to look at those dark sides to ourselves, and we don't have to be afraid to do that because we live in this ocean of mercy. Divine mercy is there, and I tell the kids in jail, there's nothing you're going to tell me you did that I'm not going to be able to say, oh, God can't forgive that. And so on my retreats, if I could say to the kids, I said, look, when I go to jail, I've been with kids that murdered people.
Yeah.
If I can tell them in Christ a new beginning is possible,
yeah.
Well, there's nothing you've done that doesn't mean it's all not true for you.
Absolutely. And not only that, Jesus wants to be their friend. And isn't it awesome that if you make him your best friend, your best friend's father is the creator of the universe?
Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Of course. And the thing is that Mother Teresa said it, if we're busy judging people, we have no time to love them.
And it's not so much judging others. People resist being open to God because they're judging themselves as damned. Or something that God can never forgive. And it's really, he's already forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know. The other thing, that room in their heart, he's fully aware of that room. You're not hiding anything from him. He knows everything. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that trust, trying to get someone to trust, very hard. I pray with people in practice. And I think because I do, they'll finally reach a point and they say, I've never told this to anyone before. And boom, there it is. And from that point on, God's got them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Very good, John. Very good.
It's really amazing. Yeah. I know you have a saint of the day.
Yes, let's get on to it.
No, I don't want to get on. No, the saint of the day is quite different today, too. And so that... We want you to get to it now, Tony.
Okay, thank you, John. The saint of the day came rather suddenly this morning, by the way, because I had gotten that I wanted to do saints that were warriors for God, that were soldiers. So I said, okay, I'll start with Moses, and I'll go into John the Baptist. And so I did all the research on a few of them, and then in prayer... just as I was leaving, I want Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's Bonhoeffer. And he's not officially a saint, but he's remembered because of what he's done and how he refused to become part of the silent majority. And almost related to me when I got that of today's situation. So Dietrich was a clergyman, a man of peace and love, and he was prepared to be a spy and to plot against his own country. Now you may say, what? Wait, hold on. He planned to be a spy and to plot against his own country? Yes, but that country was Germany, and that leader was Hitler, and that was during World War II, when the ruler of that country was responsible for the death of millions of people, many of them Jews, in a terrible concentration camp. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933. He hated Jews, but you know what? He didn't love the Catholics, nor did he love the Christians. And after the Jews, they were next. And so Dietrich knew that. And he chose, many Christians chose not to speak out. And they chose actually to convert to Nazism. Dietrich didn't choose that. He chose to be a counter spy and to get a job with the Nazis, but in actuality, use that information as for counterintelligence. He became a member of the Nazi Party. And so when the Nazis found out that he was a clergy, they closed his church, and he was forbidden to teach and was banned from the city of Berlin. They went that far. The night of the broken glass, on that night, on November 9, 1938, German troops led attack on Jewish property. More than 1,000 Jews were shipped, broken, and looted. Hundreds of synagogues were burnt down. Dietrich thought the Christians would be next to suffer. He said, "When today the synagogues are set afire, tomorrow the churches will burn." He began to speak out against the Nazis more and more. While he was a student, he went to America, and he was worried about his country. They arranged for him to go to the United States in 1939 for a series of talks. But then when he found out what was actually going on more and more in Germany, he decided to go back. Back in Germany, he thought about joining some people who were plotting to free Germany and the world from Hitler by killing him. But to do that would be against his upbringing. Before long, his sister and brother-in-law did persuade him to join a secret resistance movement, and he also became a double agent again. He did this by taking a job again with the Nazis' military intelligence department. This allowed him to travel to Italy, Switzerland, and Sweden to visit churches there. So long as he brought back some information that would help the Nazis were satisfied then. But he wasn't really working again for them. He was working against them. For example, he used one of the trips to help 14 Jews escape from Germany. In the end, the Nazis discovered he was again a double agent, and he was put into a Berlin military prison. Even so, it was several months before they realized that he also had been involved in a plot to kill Hitler. He was in a concentration camp, and then Gestapo came to him and said to him, "You are to come with us. Pack up your things." And he knew from experience that when he was told, "You are to come with us, pack up your things," that wasn't a good sign. He was on his way to the death row. Dietrich knew that this is what the guards always said to a prisoner. As they took him away, he said to another prisoner, "This is the end, but for me, it will also be the beginning of life." He was taken to be hung the next day. Just a few days before the end of the war, among those who were taken with him were friends of his from a resistance movement. They were all ordered to remove their clothing, led down some steps to the place of execution. Naked, under the scaffold, Bonhoeffer knelt for his last time to pray to his God, and within 5 minutes, his life was ended. But he did have a prayer. And the prayer was, "With every power for good to stay and guide me, comfort and inspire beyond all fear, I've lived these days with you in thought beside me, God, and pass with you into the coming year." And that's the story of someone that chose not to take and become part of the silent majority. Mm. And what could happen if you do?
Surrender is never easy. It is almost an impossibility without God.
Without God.
Without God.
But it reflects today's position, the attack that we're getting on the church, not only the Catholic Church, the Christian churches. It's only a start. The Supreme Court said it so readily a few weeks ago. If you're not happy, don't vote for them. Mm-hmm. We're under attack, and we need to do something.
Well, there's a systematic destruction of the human race.
Yes.
And it's systematic destruction of this planet, of all God's creation, of all God's people. It's not just here. It's everywhere in the world. There's a fascism at work. There is an ugly system at work. It has nothing to do with God. And we all have to have that kind of courage that the saint you selected you know, had. Mm-hmm. You know, as you were speaking, it reminded me of one of my favorite saints, Maximilian Kolbe.
Oh, he was on the list.
Yeah.
He'll probably be next.
Visiting his prison cell in Auschwitz was a profound experience for me. And what he was about, this civilization of love versus what John Paul II called the culture of death.
Absolutely.
That was such a very clear delineation of where do you align yourself and what kind of world do you want to take this? What do you want to do with God's creation here? Mm-hmm. You want to, and the culture of death is just amplified every single day. This, we're spiraling down this black hole, and the people of God have got work to do, and we don't do nearly enough.
Absolutely.
We select our one or two little issues that we want to say something about, and we don't address the overall picture, and it's not what the Lord wants.
You know, I've been quiet over these past several moments because I feel something going on inside of me, if you want. And I wrote, my love cannot be taken for granted. I do as I wish in all my friends. And he's saying now, Tony, you are a close friend of mine. You take where it's coming from. I delight in surprising my friends, and I intend to surprise you right now, today on this show. And my answer to that is, okay, Lord, what do you want? And it's this. I want those who are listening to this radio program right now to be still and open their hearts, whatever rooms they have that they're hiding, just open up completely and let me touch you. That goes for you, Tony, both Tonys. And you, John, allow me now to touch each listener who says yes. Allow me now to be able to touch your heart, your soul, and your mind. I promised a surprise, and this is my surprise. I will speak through my friend who surrenders his inner voice to me, and I tell all who are within earshot of my voice, I, Jesus the Messiah, with the ascent of the Father, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, tell each of you now, loud and clear, in my soft whisper, I love you. I love you just the way you are. You don't have to stand on your head and spit nickels to have me love you. I come because you have opened the door to your heart, just like Tony said earlier. The door was closed, and perhaps closed throughout the program. But you just let me in, folks. You just let me in. And I'm here, inside of you, planting a seed in you about life eternal in my love. And because you said yes, that seed is now deeply planted in the depth of your heart, and I will help you over these next several days, weeks, years, whatever it may be, to cultivate the seed of love that has fallen into the wonderful ground that you opened to me. For just one moment today, while this radio show was going on with all the buzz of the world around you, you let me in, and I touched you. And that's what Tony means, and that's what John means, and that's what the other Tony means when they say they meet Jesus. I touched each heart, each soul, and each mind of each listener right now, and you're meeting my love in you. It's being expressed through the surrendered love of me by another person. but it's my spirit that's speaking through him to you right now and saying, religion is not phony. Relationship with me right now opens you to the truth that this whole world sadly ignores. And the truth is, you are in the prison of time, and I have come here to lead you out of time into my timeless love in life eternal in my new Jerusalem. That sentence is a summary of scripture. It's my life plan for you. You may die physically, but you will rise again with me. Now that's hard to conceive, and that's hard to understand, but I'm telling you truth. My Father and I put our spirit in you. It's the spirit of truth. That's the spirit that teaches you the true meaning of life. And that true meaning is simply to live in my love, quietly, gently, one-on-one with me, in the silence of your heart, in the silence of your upper room. My spirit flows freely now and will flow freely again in you as I teach you what I was teaching when I was here on earth. As you love me, so also I will love you. The more frequently you let me in, the more you will grow in my love. You may say, this is just Dr. Palmer, and I'm telling you, this is more than Dr. Palmer. This is my love, alive, on a radio. Why would I choose to do this? Because I couldn't find you in church. I found you at home, in the quiet of your heart, saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And I'm telling you, I am that more. All you have to do is what was said on this show. Be still. Be still. And know I am your God. Let me in. And know I am your God. Allow me to touch you daily. Give me 5 minutes, and I promise I'll be there. Give me 5 minutes more, and I will come alive in you in ways that will surprise you. My friend is surprised that I've taken this opportunity to speak over a radio through him. He's embarrassed, and he's saying, oh God, they're all going to think I'm crazy. But he's not. He's completely surrendered to my love. Now, dear friends, I know we're coming near the end of a radio program. And this is probably the best soap opera you've ever listened to, because you're going to wonder later, is that guy for real? Or was that just an expression of mania? Was he out of his mind? Or is he speaking truth? That's the question I leave with you. Do you believe that you can hear my voice in your heart? And if you believe that and are truly open to that, I will confirm that what you hear from me is real. You will hear my love speaking in your heart. And it may be in direct contradiction with what's in your head, but it's a whole new way that we will teach you to view life in your world. Time is meaningless. Truth is forever. Think of that. time is meaningless. My truth is forever. Are you willing to take a chance on my truth? Are you willing to open yourself up to me every day, just for a few minutes? And if you do, take a pen and pencil and write what you hear in your heart. And I promise you, my spirit will speak to you, and I will retool you in the way you approach your life. I don't care whether you're 10 or 110. I will touch you, I will change you, and I will transform you. Amen.
Amen.
We have some petitions. Tony, you talk. I can't talk.
Okay. We have petitions that we receive constantly, and we pray over them. We pray over them every week. We pray over them every day. And we give praise and glory to Jesus. And he has responded to all our petitions. And if you have a petition you'd like to send, send it to listenup1240 at AOL.com. And we will listen and hear every petition, put them in our petitions, and we will respond to every email that we get. We'd like to hear from you. So we love you and thank you. Thank
Tony,
you.
Tony, just put your hand on the petitions and pray with us that Jesus come and touch every listener.
And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thanks for responding to these petitions that we present to you every week. We put before your cross, and we ask those that are homeless to give them shelter, those that are out of work to get them employment, those that are having serious mental problems that you cure them, those that have serious illnesses that you cure them, just those that need you, that you stay with them. And we thank you for all the gifts you gave us, and thank you for healing so many people, and we still get responses of the people that you've healed. And of course, we love you, Jesus. We love you. We give you praise and glory. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
After that expose, the question of the song at the end of the show is, can it be? Is there really a possibility that God would speak to me through another person?
Wow, what a song. Good
can
selection.
Can it be?
Good selection.